and you are listening to KCAW Raven Radio in beautiful Sitka, Alaska. Time now is 6:35 and actually 6:36 just then. So let's do the Alaska Zone weather first and then things happening around town and some muskeg messages. First up, we have for Sitka and Port Alexander tonight, cloudy, scattered rain showers, lows around 42 degrees. East winds 10 miles per hour, increasing to 10 to 15 miles per hour later tonight. Friday, rain, highs around 48 degrees, and southeast winds 15 to 25 miles per hour, diminishing in the afternoon. For Tenakee Springs, tonight, cloudy, patchy fog and scattered rain showers diminishing overnight, with lows around 34 degrees and southeast winds 10 miles per hour. For Friday, isolated rain showers in the morning, then rain likely late in the afternoon, highs around 45 degrees and southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. For Pelican and Elfin Cove, tonight, cloudy, isolated rain showers and lows around 39 degrees, with east winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. For Friday, cloudy, scattered rain showers and highs around 46 degrees, with southeast winds 15 to 25 miles per hour. For Rangoon, tonight, cloudy, patchy fog and isolated rain showers, lows around 40 degrees, and southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. For Friday, isolated rain showers in the morning, then rain in the afternoon, with highs around 45 degrees, and southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. For Cake, tonight, cloudy, patchy fog and isolated rain showers, lows around 37 degrees, and southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Friday, rain, highs around 43 degrees, and southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. And for Yakutat, tonight, cloudy, scattered rain showers and lows around 34 degrees, with east winds 10 miles per hour. Friday, cloudy, scattered rain showers, mainly west of Yakutat with highs around 45 degrees and east winds 10 miles per hour. We have some muskeg messages tonight. Muskeg message is the service that Raven Raid provides you if you have lost something, found something, or need to get a message to someone who may not have joined the new millennium with a cell phone or a telephone for that matter. So give us a call here at 747-5877 and leave us your message and we'll have it on the air for a couple days. So we've got quite a few tonight. First up, we have to the guy in Tenakee who makes deer calls. Please call John at 747-6212. Raven Radio will broadcast news and interviews from the Alaska Federation of Natives Conference in Anchorage this week, produced by the Quahonic Broadcast Corporation. Tune in on Thursday and Friday from noon and at noon or 12:06 and again at 7 p.m. on Sunday for one-hour specials from the conference. You can also hear five-minute summaries at 6:01 p.m. on Thursday and Friday. And congratulations goes out to Cheryl Pearson, winner of Raven Radio's Alaska Airlines raffle. You lucky dog, you're getting off the rock. And thanks to everyone who bought a raffle ticket. Good job, Cheryl. And for things happening around town here, Swan Lake Senior Center will hold a luau dinner and show 5 p.m. on Saturday, October 22nd at the center. Tickets are $15 for one or $25 for two. Deadline to make an application for the 2012-13 Rotary Youth Exchange Program is Friday, October 21st, tomorrow. Applications are at the Sitka High Counseling Office. For more information, call Shannon, 738-0602. The Sitka Food Co-op will hold a dinner and movie 6 p.m. Saturday, October 22nd at Harrigan Centennial Hall. Dinner will be catered by Sitka Spruce Catering, and the movie shown will be Fresh. Cost is $20 in advance and $25 at the door. Tickets are available at Old Harbor Books. And, yep, that's about it. I think there's a few tickets left. Spin classes are being offered at 5:30 a.m., 8:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. weekdays and 3 p.m. Sundays at the Hames Center. Clean gym shoes should be carried to the sessions. For more information, go to hamescenter.com. And last but not least, visiting instructor Dr. Tom Malone of the University of Massachusetts will lead a Sacred Harp Singing School, 7 p.m. Friday, October 21st at the Pioneer Home Manager's House. For more information, call Sarah at 72915. Oh, and look at this. All are invited to participate in the annual Alaska Sacred Harp Convention. All day sing, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and that's on Saturday, the 22nd, at the Loft on Oyo Way. Parking can be had in the public parking right across the street. A potluck will be held at noon. Singers, listeners, and beginners are welcome for all or part of the day. For more information, call Sarah, 72915. Oh, and shock horror, there's a third one here to read. The fourth Sunday Sacred Harp Sing, like there hasn't been enough already. Call us gluttons. Fourth Sunday Sacred Harp Singing will take place 3:30 p.m. Sunday, October 23rd at the Pioneer Home Manager's House. That's our usual spot. Come rain, come shine. Singers, listeners, and again, beginners are welcome. And want to know more? Call Sarah, 72915. So thank you very much, everybody. Yes, we're here every Thursday night at the Sunset Symphony. And I've got quite a group. I wish you guys could just see this. It's very, radio can be very visual, though. I am literally surrounded by singers in the studio here on all sides. So we've got quite a wonderful evening. And I want to lend a special greeting and hello to Dr. Tom Lone, who's come all the way from Boston, Massachusetts to spend the weekend. Hey, yeah. Tom.
Hi, Kari. It's great to be here.
Well, we are just flattered that you traveled all this way, and I'm going to kind of get this visual.
Yeah, you kind of had to twist my arm. You know,
I know.
To come sing with all these people here in Alaska.
We had to put some smoked salmon on a hook and, you know,
I'm very easily led in that way. I'm very easily led.
And it worked. So we're going to be doing, we're going to be talking about the tradition, the Fasola tradition. But even better than that, we're going to be doing some singing for you. So we've got singers from all across Alaska, as far north as Fairbanks, and as far south in Alaska as Sommel Creek Road. And then our Pacific Northwest friends who have come all the way from Washington State, Oregon, and then our super special guest from California. Thanks for coming up, Hal. So let's get on with it. I opened up. I was reading a little bit of, playing a little bit of the sacred harp in the background, and let's get started by singing something just to open it up. And what was our first song that we chose?
49 on the bottom.
Hey, Nick. This is kind of a reunion too. People will be coming through the door, and we'll probably have to shout something at them. So, here's your book. And folks, when they notice the tradition, we're actually, you're going to hear us kind of going up and down here, bumping microphones. The first thing that we do is we pitch. And this particular piece, which is called Mirror, is written in the key of G. But we sing it in the key of
key of G.
Are you going to pitch it in G?
Sacred Harp G.
Oh, the key of
Sacred Harp G is just a little bit lower than other people's G.
The key of convenience.
Okay,
so we're just going to take a moment here to rustle, and then we're going to sing Mirror for you. Here we go.
Let's sing the notes and the first verse, and then the words to Amazing Grace.
Fala sofa, fala sofa, fala sofa, 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 sofa.
That saved
So who wrote that? When was that written?
Well, you know, that's a song that was written in Britain, and people ask about Sacred Harp music, but really, Sacred Harp is the name of the book we sing out of. And the Fasolah system is a lot older than this book, and even the shape note system is older than this book, but the Fasolah system was used in England, and it was a common way to teach people to learn to sing the way we use Do, Re, Mi today. So the Fasolah system is just a way to name the notes before you sing them. And so this song, Mir, that we just sang, was one of the earliest songs taken from England to teach people to sing here in America using the Fasolah collection.
And done by Isaac Watts.
Well, the words here are by Isaac Watts, but the point that these tunes had a life of their own independently of the poetry, so that's why we could sing Amazing Grace to that song. And a lot of the songs and the poems were somewhat interchangeable. So the song was called Mir, and in this setting it's to the words by Isaac Watts, but it could have been sung to a lot of different words, you know, if they were in the same common meter. But this one in particular is of interest to me because around 1720, people used to sing in America, early America, the psalm tunes only. And they were sung from memory, and they were sung in a lining out style. And then there became, in Roxbury, Massachusetts, and other environments around Boston, this campaign to get people to sing by the rule. I know. And what by the rule was that you had to stay together in time, and you had to know the name of the note you were singing, which was easy because there were only four, fa, sol, la, mi. But that was a big controversy in the 1720s. And so this song came to America at that time.
So who would have brought it? I mean, did it come with the first wave of people coming across, or did it trickle in, or?
Well, I think they'd been singing the psalm tunes since the 1600s, but this was kind of the new way.
Okay.
And it was especially focused on young people. They wanted young people to be able to learn to sing in time and in tune. And so the same kind of movement was happening in England. But, you know, some were satisfied with the old way, some wanted to go with the new way. And we think of William Billings, who's kind of the founder of our style, as old, but the controversy I'm describing was 50 years before him.
Oh.
So it was the fact that the Fasolah system became established by the 1720s and 30s. William Billings grew up with that. And so then he became more of an original American writer. Another one that's like that is 28 on the Bottom. Maybe we'll sing that.
Well, let's do that.
That's another English import.
Excellent choice.
And as far as who wrote the tune, I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you who wrote that tune. But this one was also a British psalm tune that came over to America in the early 1700s, 1720s. And this one has a nice little thing where the bass, the lowest voice, and the treble, the highest voice, they sustain through the phrases, which is a beautiful effect.
Allah Sofa. Show the great reward.
beautiful song. And there's some stories about that song. It has to do a little bit with how we pitch our music. In the churches of those times, it was considered inappropriate to bring any kind of musical instrument into the house. So they had to pitch the songs by ear. And there's a famous sort of anecdote about somebody trying to key this song and they got it too high. And we still have that problem today sometimes. We key our songs and it gets a little too high. But this, I think we should say something, Kari, just about what is the Sacred Harp. People might not have any idea what we're talking about.
That's right.
So maybe we should tell them about, you know, the Sacred Harp songbook and how people come to encounter it and what it, you know, why we're all here, why I would fly 6 hours, why people would fly 4 hours to sing these old songs.
Exactly. You know? And why do we do it? So, Hal, you came all the way from San Francisco. You must have a good reason.
I sing Sacred Harp for a lot of reasons. One is the fellowship of the community. I've been singing now for about a little bit less than 6 years, and I've been taught by friends who had done a lot of traveling and had been in the community for a long time about what it means to be able to go and bring this music to and share this music with other people. And it brings me great pleasure to be able to make those connections with the people. That's one big reason for me. And then another reason is I get a bit of a high from singing this music. It affects me emotionally in a very deep and profound way. It gets deep in my bones, and I need my fix.
As do we all. Well, yeah. I got my start in Fairbanks, and I am just so excited to announce that the people that got me hooked are here. Yes. Up in Fairbanks, and you guys have been singing for quite some time. Right there, Lynn. I'll let you talk about the Fairbanksian experience up there, the Midnight Sun Singers. I just made that name up.
My friends should help me out a little bit. We've been singing for what?
20 years?
Is it been 20 years?
Wow.
And we sing every Sunday evening at our house these days mostly. And we usually have a couple of people on each part. There are 4 parts. And we're pretty faithful about it. We've enjoyed it very much, and I love the music. I really love the music. I'm kind of a folk musician, and this is definitely a kind of folk music. We use books, but it's definitely folk music and homegrown. We make our own fun up there.
And Robert, how about you?
Well, I go back a little further than Lynn with the Shape Notes. We first encountered it in 1970. And someone had an extremely ancient Shape Note hymnal, and we were a group of singers who fought off cabin fever by getting together on an irregular basis to sing folk songs. And we tried that, and it just didn't ring, and we went through a series of evolutions, singing more folk songs, and then we sang rounds, and we just loved the harmonies, and something in the back of my mind said, oh, I remember the harmonies in this book. And so we tracked it down. We sent off to
Sacred Harp Publishing Company.
Sacred Harp Publishing Company.
Way far away.
Bremen,
way
Georgia.
83509. Yeah.
Bremen, yeah. Georgia.
Yes, and
got your box of books. Reasonably priced,
$5 a piece,
way.
They sent us a dozen books, and at first we didn't know how to do it, so we invented how to do it, and suddenly someone showed up in Fairbanks who had done it, and he says, you're doing it right.
And that's great.
That was in 1987, and we've been doing it on more or less a weekly basis ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it because there's just... it's a special way to be with people. You can't sing all the parts by yourself unless you have a fancy tape recorder.
Or you're a tube and throat singer.
Mm-hmm. We have a couple.
We're trying.
And so by gathering these dear friends together, we just have a wonderful way of communing and being with one another. It's very, very spiritual.
And sometimes that's the only time you see people, certain people in town, but you come and you sing together, and all of a sudden...
Yep. Well, some of these people in this room I see at singings in every state except the state in which I live, you know? And that's Singing Friends, and Singing Friends are a network. But, you know, maybe we should say something for the people listening on the radio. Just to do some basic thing. The Sacred Harp is a book. It's rectangular, and it opens from the side to the side.
And it's hardcover.
It's what we would call in the computer age landscape orientation.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
I know.
It opens the sideways, an oblong songbook, and that's how all the old printed songbooks used to be. But this songbook in particular, it was first published in 1844, and it's never been out of print since that time, which is pretty miraculous. And it's that Sacred Harp Publishing Company. You can still get your books from them. But I may say, Kari, just a little bit about, since I'm coming here as a visiting professor, but I also want to just speak as a singer and give a little bit of my experience. I grew up in Vermont, and we have some shape note singing in Vermont. It started in 1970s, and I heard about it, and then I ended up going to a music school, and they never mentioned it in music school, but I heard it on a record. It was a 1959 Alan Lomax recording, and I heard that, and it was like someone had plugged me into a wall socket. Every nerve in my body started jingling when I heard that. And I wanted to know what it was, but I saw the thing. It said Alabama. I said, I'll never go to Alabama. Those were my exact words. Life has a funny way of making making you eat your words. So I went and looked about the people that wrote the songs, and they were from Vermont. And that really threw me for a loop. And I thought, well, this has something to do with where I'm from. And so I studied on it and eventually ended up going to Alabama and meeting Hugh, who runs a publishing company. He became a mentor to me. And so now we, you know, I became a part of the story, too. So Sacred Harp is a tradition of singing these old songs, basically a mixture of the British psalm tunes, American camp meeting hymns and spirituals, fuguing songs from New England, a few anthems that are pretty elaborate by William Billings and others, and then these writers in small communities in the South never stopped composing in this old way. And so when you get to travel with them, you realize it's a living thing. We're not reenactors. We're not... It's a real thing today, and the friendships we make traveling are just as real. So I wanted to get that off of from my point of view, because I'm not just here to be a professor. You know, I'm not here just to give you the historical dates of the composers.
That's right.
Though I do a little bit of that.
So and fair, we love it.
Let's
we
do for the Fairbanksians. Let's do 38 on the top.
38 on the top.
I hear you guys have winters up where you live. I'm from Vermont. We have our winters too. You know. So the first two songs we heard were by these British writers, but the American writers, after Billings, got involved, and Daniel Reed wrote this song. It's a plain song. We'll sing two verses out, and you'll hear some beautiful dispersed harmonies. Fa, sol,